Jesus proposed a parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a man who sowed good seed in his field. While everyone was asleep, his enemy came and sowed weeds all throughout the wheat, and then went off. When the crop grew and bore fruit, the weeds appeared as well. The slaves of the householder came to him and said, "Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where have these weeds come from?" He answered, "An enemy has done this." His slave said to him, "Do you want us to go out and pull him up?" He replied, "No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat also along with them. Let them grow together until harvest. Then at harvest time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First, collect the weeds and tie them in bundles for burning, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On the heels of the parable of the sower and the seed, Jesus gives another parable that goes together with it. That as the seed grows, we not only have to deal with what we would call interior things, superficiality, stubbornness, worldly cares and anxieties, as we would see in the hardened, rocky, and thorny soil. We also have to remember that we're not dealing with a vacuum. There is really an enemy, and an enemy sows his seed, and it grows up alongside. But Jesus gives a few lessons. First, he gives a lesson of patience. In the Holy Land still today, there's a particular type of weed called Lolium temulentum that, as it immediately sprouts up and begins to grow, is indiscernible, even to a trained eye, from wheat. This was a very vivid image that Jesus was using. But once it grows tall enough in order to be able to distinguish it, its roots are intertwined. So literally, you cannot pull it out without pulling out some of the wheat. So what the farmers do need to do is let it grow until harvest time, and then they separate. And it's pretty clear how to separate the toxic fruit of the Lolium temulentum from the good fruit of the wheat. Patience. Allied with that is the lesson. That you can't always tell when people are growing up whether they're going to be good or bad seed. Some of the times you just have to be patient to be able to see. We can't be quick to judge. Second lesson is what Jesus says. The slaves of the household are coming. Do you want us to rip out those weeds? And the lesson of patience goes along with another implicit lesson. No, it can't stop the growth of the wheat. It's going to annoy, it's going to cause problems, it's going to have some work later, but it can't ultimately stop the growth of the wheat. Whereas they were concerned more with ripping out the bad, Jesus wanted them to focus far more on the growth of the good. This is a perennial issue in the church. That a lot of the times we have people far more interested in stopping heresy than they do in teaching catechism. Of condemning the sins of others rather than growing to be saints. At a time like right now, where there is a real concern about lack of chastity, clergy and the episcopacy, so many lay people are presently obsessed about what to do rooting out this evil. And it is an evil. But as I try to say when the people are here, while that issue does need to be addressed, there's a far bigger elephant in the room. And they all say, "What's that elephant?" Waiting for the other shoe to drop. And the bigger elephant in the room is God's calling you to become a great saint. That's always the solution. It's not just rooting out the bad, it's doing the good. here in this parable, Jesus wants us to obsess about the growth of the wheat far more than we do about the growth of the weeds. The third lesson is if we act too soon, we will lose wheat. That if we were trying to get them before their roots would be intertwined, we would lose a lot of good wheat. What does that mean? That we'd lose a lot of people who at first glance might seem not to be among the wheat, but can become very, very fruitful wheat indeed. We would have lost Mary Magdalene. We would have lost Augustine. We would have lost so many of the great converts. And insofar as each of us beat our breast earlier this morning and said that we are a grievous sinner, who has committed great sins by our own fault, perhaps we would be lost too. The patience to which Jesus requires, so that the wheat might truly grow, so that we might not lose any wheat, is the way that the church has to act throughout time. Next week we'll have a similar parable about the dragnet catching both good and bad fish. That you bring them both into the net, that in the church there's going to be good and bad growth, and it shouldn't disturb us to the point that we lose focus. It's going to be there, but the Lord wants us to ponder His self-implanting within the soil of our hearts so that we might indeed grow, so that we might help others grow. The third point about conversion is the theme of this morning's first reading. God sends Jeremiah to the gate of the house of the Lord, so the outer aspect of the temple, to say, don't be a hypocrite. Reform your ways and your deeds so that you may remain in this place. Don't think that just by coming to the temple and crying out in the biblical way, where three times would give bold emphasis, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, that everything's fine. Focus on the growth. Focus on these types of ways that you would worship me. Dealing justly with neighbors, not oppressing resident aliens. I would love to put this on the frontispiece of every church in the United States right now. Don't oppress resident aliens. Because a lot of Catholics think that their xenophobia somehow is compatible with the faith. It's not. Because every resident alien is the one through whom Jesus will judge us, whether we accepted him or rejected him when he was a stranger. No longer oppressing orphan and widow, but caring for them. Not shedding innocent blood, not following strange gods. Because if we do that type of sin, as we know as Catholics, God will not remain with us in this place, not because he doesn't want to, but because we don't make room for him. We don't open up for him to come on in. But even those who are involved in this type of behavior and seem to be weeds, they too can turn into fruitful wheat. And that's why the Lord wants us to be patient. That has been the history of the church. Today the church celebrates for the first time something really important. Do you know what it is? I'll give you a hint. Church in America celebrates a feast for the first time today. It's cacophonous, sisters. Today is the feast of Blessed Stanley Rother, who was beatified last September 23rd. What we find in the life of Stanley Rother was, here was a person going to seminary, in which he didn't seem to see the fruits of scholarship. He wasn't able to make it initially, but patiently the church allowed his vocation to grow, and his fruit became like that grain of wheat in the gospel, falling to the ground and dying in order to produce in abundance. When he went to Guatemala as a missionary, boy, were there weeds. And he had to acknowledge the weeds. But what he was doing throughout that time of terrible violence was trying to plant seeds, seeds that would grow. I was talking a couple days ago with a friend of mine who's the rector of Mount St. Mary Seminary. Stanley Rother went to the Mount and they built a nice, beautiful shrine to Blessed Stanley Rother at the Mount. And we were both talking about how beautiful that Beatification Mass was. And one of the reasons why it was so beautiful is immediately before it started, they showed a 20-minute video going to the village where he had evangelized. And at one point, there was a manly farmer, an Indian, who used to help around the church and was there the day that they broke in and murdered him in his own rectory. And they just let this man cry for 20 seconds on that video, a grown man weeping. So much did he love Father Stanley Rother. So much did he still mourn him all these years later, that despite all the gorilla weeds growing all the way around and all the ugliness, Father Stanley kept praying. He kept planting. He kept teaching. He kept encouraging. He kept shepherding. It's an example for us. We will probably never face, no matter how hostile our environments get, an environment like he had to deal with there in Guatemala. And he didn't get distracted. He focused on living words that we see today. It's interesting that on the banner that was above the altar after he was beatified, there were a lot of blending things. So he had a Roman cassock for the conservative side, and then he had a multicolor stole for the progressive side. Yeah, the churches that he was associated with and built. But what I always found really, really neat was his one hand was raised in blessing of his people. The other hand held the New Testament in the local dialect, which he himself had translated. He translated the Word of God into that dialect. He himself allowed those words to penetrate him in such a way that, like a fruitful tree, he was able to give off other seeds and implant it, enculturate it elsewhere. Today, as we celebrate his feast for the first time, we ask his intercession that we ourselves might live today's parable and become truly fruitful wheat, because at the end of time, the wheat wins.